Chapter 5, Ecclesiastes. Yesterday, we talked about verse 8. If thou seest the oppression of the poor and violent, perverting of judgment and justice in a province, marvel not, or don't be upset, or what did I say it meant?
Fret not.
Fret not. No, that was part of it. Don't be disturbed about it, is what marvel means. And notice that it says in a province. And that means in something that isn't a part of Israel or something that isn't connected with Israel. Now, let's look at because it's the same subject, but it's a little bit different. So let's go to we're going to skip ahead a little bit, and I'll come back tomorrow. Chapter 6, verse 1. So we have the first thing we studied. If you see evil in a province or perverting of justice or whatever it is, don't give it any breath. Don't matter. It doesn't matter. It's not our business. Now, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is common among men. Now the rabbis say that, we'll get into the New Testament aspect of this. There is an evil which I've seen under the sun, and it's implicit to get money. And it means, it refers to the devices of cheats in the name of God. Now this is critical, that you understand that we look differently at what is going on in the provinces versus what is going on in the name of God. Can that catch you a minute? Do you understand why? And okay, this refers, and it says, the Talmud says, this refers to the devices of cheats, and it gives us a whole bunch of examples. One who adulterates wine with water. One who adulterates oil with glaucion, which is a species of poppies. You know, it's not holy oil. One who adulterates honey with fruit juice. One who adulterates myrrh with gum. One who adulterates balsam with ass's milk. I think that's what we see a lot. I don't even know what it means. One who adulterates the aromatic leaves with vine leaves. One who adulterates pepper with vetch, and one who uses false weights and measures. And specifically says one for whom one arm of the scale is longer than the other, so you understand. Now, there is a conflict here, and this is critical. And this is what it says, woe is me if I expose it, and woe is me if I do not. What do I do? If I say it and expose it, the cheats will learn what to do. If I don't, the cheats will say what they do is good. Finally, the job of the Tzaddik is to expose them, because the ways of the Lord are right.
What are you reading?
The Talmud.
Commentary on this.
Right. Now let's go, let's see what we can see about this in the New Testament. But the bottom line, and this is the commentary, a guy, I can't remember the rabbi's name, Armani, that was it, no. It's a Rami.
They dressed what?
Yeah. It's Bruce's rabbi. It says, this is what it is. The necessity to expose the fraud overcame everything else. the believer's duty is to advocate what is right without regard to consequences. Now, this is something I didn't know, what I'm just telling you. We've never studied what I've just told you before. It's just because I'd never looked into that volume of the Talmud. And it was like one of these things, you know, because it's never been my sense was what's going on in the provinces isn't our business. That's not, but what's going on in the name of Jesus is our business. Does everybody, I want you to talk to me, because I know this is an issue that is always just below the surface. Should we see what the New Testament says about it?
There's another quote I tried to remember years ago from some really famous Luther, you know, somebody like Luther. He said something about, he was talking about exposing the charlatanry of the clergy. And I can't remember what it was, but it was something about, if I don't do it, I'm damned.
Yeah, I've got a whole bunch of those kind of things. We can look at that later. But let's go look at right now at the New Testament. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 9. I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company or hang out with fornicators. Now remember, this isn't just sexual. A fornicator is one who goes to God, somewhere else other than God. Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with the extortioners, or with idolaters, for then you must needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to keep company, if a man that is called a brother be a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or extortioner, with such a one, no, not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Now, there's implicit in that is if you're going to put somebody away, there has to be an expose them. Now let's look at some more. Let's go to let's go to Hosea first. Hosea 14. It's right after Ezekiel, Daniel. It's Isaiah, then Ezekiel. Anyway, it's near the. He's the second of the minor prophets, I think. Fourteen. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord, and say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips or the sacrifices of our lips. Asher shall not save us, we will not ride upon horses, neither will we say any more to the work of our hands, you are our gods, or you are important to us. For in thee the fatherless findeth mercy. I will heal their backsliding. I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. I will be as the dew unto Israel. He shall grow as the lily, and cast forth his roots as Lebanon. His branches shall spread, and his beauty shall be as the olive tree, and his smell as Lebanon. They that dwell under the shadow shall return. They shall revive as the corn and grow as the vine, and the scent thereof shall be as the vine of Lebanon. Ephraim shall say, what have I to do any more with idols? I have heard him and observed him. I am like a green fir tree, for me is thy fruit found. Who is wise, and he shall understand these things? Prudent, and he shall know them. For, and this is the critical issue, for the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them. But the transgressors shall fall therein. Now, the rabbi that I quoted earlier quoted that, for the ways of the Lord are right. And so how can anyone in the name of the Lord commit fraud? And yet, according to the U.S. attorneys in America, there is more fraud committed in the name of God than any other kind of fraud there is. All right, let's go to Acts. Well, there's several reasons. Remember, when we first started all this back in the 80s, we'd go to local authorities and they'd say it's protected speech. We go to the national religious broadcasters and they say we can't do anything about it. The networks thought it was just a cultural, southern cultural phenomenon. Innumerable times we've done investigations where the feds have been involved, and they come back and said, you know, to me, well, a little old, you know, some the federal grand jury system and the federal jury system is terrible because it's not terrible, it's just what is. The great example is with God's ghostwriter Gene Ewing. There is 6, 7, or 8, or 9, or some number of letters that say almost exactly, in many cases, word for word, same art, same everything, coming from all these different evangelists. And I made a presentation to a big meeting. And to me, it looks like it's fraud per se, because each one of these people said they wrote that letter, signed their name to it, and that God had told them these things. And here's the problem. Some little old lady on the grand jury or on the jury, if it goes to trial, could say, well, God could have told all these guys the same thing. And so until there's case law where, you know, there's specific hard evidences, and that's one of the goals of our group, is that we would do this until there was criminal case law and civil case law, so that the system itself would be able to protect the victims. You know, does everybody understand this? Anybody have any? I want you to speak if you don't, or if you disagree, or I want to hear your opinions.
Well,
I don't want you to make up something.
I'm just saying, it's like, I don't know. It just seems like we're just listening.
That's not our business. Remember, the results are never our business.
Yeah, but I gotta say what you're gonna say. I mean, you know, all the effort that you put into this, you know, out there almost 15 years, you know, it's just getting discouraging sometimes to me that we're doing this. And, I mean, no.
Well, what do you want to happen?
Well, I want them to go to jail or something, you know.
And they have.
I want to see all our efforts, something.
Okay.
Something tangible, something concrete.
Okay.
Solid.
Yeah. But
you know. I'm, you know.
Listen. First of all, number one, they have gone to jail. Number two. What if we are doing what we are doing is unto God, no matter what it is, then the results aren't our business. We just have to be faithful to what we see. It's human nature to want to see, well, if I put forth this effort, then that should happen. And that human nature is what's evil. Here we're saying, this is what's going on, and it's unto God. And I don't care. The results are His business. And that has to be in everything, every aspect of your life. What's going on, Michael? Can you put it all aside and leave it outside the door for a minute?
I haven't, really. I just now I was thinking about what y'all are talking about. You know, I don't really think the investigations interfere with what we're about. So I don't really care. You know, if we do it or not. Part of me thinks that it kind of contradicts what we're about. Say that every institution is perfect and everything that's going on is perfect. You know, and yet we get about and try to change something.
What are we trying to change?
I don't know.
And we're not.
We're trying to point something out to the public, or, you know, we're trying to do something. You know?
And this is the woe is me that we just read about. Woe is me. If I don't do anything, then they will think that what they're doing is just.
I think there's plenty to do outside of that also.
Well, everyone has an idea. The only reason we're doing this is because what? It's probably because of Harry.
Just because it came before us as a need.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the only reason.
Yeah.
And I, as a said so often, if something else comes up, if it isn't an issue, if anybody else would do it, we'd stop it instantly. But it's critical that these be spoken, whatever your feeling about it is, because if it's not, then it'll cause resentment.
Well, frankly, I mean, I've battled with this in the past. I have before been very pissed off about the things that we do. I have hated the magazine and hated the investigations, and merely because I thought there were needs right here within us to be met, and everyone was scurrying about, you know, worrying about trying to fix something out there when there was plenty to help right here in front of you. But that was kind of, I mean, that's a flip-sided coin for me, because I was extremely insane, you know, and thinking that everybody needed to help me. I was blaming everybody that I wasn't doing good. So, I've had feelings in the past that I hated the investigations. I hated the Door magazine with passion. I started to hate Trinity.
But did you say anything when we, for instance, when we
no,
had the meeting?
No, I was not saying shit to anybody. I was gone. You know, so that's why I say I was insane at the time. I really was.
But it's critical that these things be said openly, because, you know, when we started, whether it was the Door or whether it was the investigations. I don't remember whether we did it with all of the membership, but I know that we did it with the board of directors, and the members elect the board. And so any time that something goes on that isn't what you want or isn't what you think it should be, you're not powerless. You can instantly, in a few weeks, we can elect a new board of directors and fire me and change everything. Everything is always in your hands. That sounds like a good idea. Why don't we elect a new board and fire me? But I can say it till hell freezes over, but it unless you speak your mind, then resentment will build up, and the resentments eventually will pile and you will leave. But it'll be the same wherever you go.
I thought that,
where did Kevin, oh, there he is, speaking of resentments.
I saw people giving a lot more effort to Trinity than getting to know Shannon, or than it's, that's what I saw, it's just like we were down there just starving. And
where?
We were there or there, we were just, which was mostly our fault, though.
But again, if
I know, we didn't say anything.
You didn't say anything, so there's no, that's the mystery. People think, well, they should come over here and help me because, or whatever it is. They should do this without me saying anything.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't work that way.
No.
And it's not supposed to work that way because we're not learning how to be augurs. We're learning how to be brethren.
Well, I thought through, and I really don't want a bunch of do-gooders coming to my house.
You just want them when you want them.
Well, everybody does, but my point is that and it's so critical, is that those feelings that you have about somebody or something or us or everything in general are just as important as the thing itself. That's what we're. The only thing we're about is being knit together in love. That can only happen if everything is open. I've told Harry 100 times when Harry was all upset about this or that. I said, okay, we'll stop the investigation. We'll stop the door. I would do that for anybody.
I have a hard time believing that. I really do. It doesn't matter today. But I don't believe that we would stop. I just don't believe that. We've gone so far with it all, and it's.
Well, of course we'd stop. There's no question. If anything, no matter, I don't care if the lair or if anything we're doing is interfering with believe on him who he has sent, I'd stop everything else instantly. I promise you. Because nothing we do is more important than than this mystery of laying down our lives one for another. If we're not doing that, then anything else is meaningless anyway. But you can't. And this is what happens. You sit back in judgment, not you, but everybody, and then there's roots of bitterness develop, and then all of a sudden there's some conspiracy against them, and everybody hates them, and so therefore I'm going to hate them first back, and pretty soon... I just then described 99% of the marriages.
Well, speaking of marriages, that's specifically what's going on with me this morning that I just really could leave out there.
Okay, well.
I started just to walk away this morning because it's like I really don't feel like I can come in here and open. You got this microphone on. You got the agenda that you're going to do.
No, I don't. It never happens.
I can't come in here and, let this bomb off, And
why?
Because I don't really want the meeting to turn into a microphone.
Okay, well, listen carefully. Yeah. And this is what we have to do. This isn't a Seder group.
Right.
The Seder group, your Bible study group, is where everything else should stop. And if you don't say those things in the Seder group, or if you don't go, then nothing can happen. This isn't a Seder group.
Yeah.
But you can't feel helpless.
What? Well, I think when you say that, though, that then, you're always talking about you want a response and a response, but I think...
Well, it's spontaneous.
Yeah, Michael,
when you say that,
the Seder group's not meeting right now, so,
No, I agree. That's why we're doing this.
Yeah, but there's got to be, a feeling like this microphone thing, whatever.
Because it turned off immediately.
Yeah, it can stop. And I don't know that that's really, I mean, it's stated, but subconsciously everybody thinks, okay, this is the thing. We have morning Bible study. You know, if you want to talk about something, you go to your safe room. And so, you know, everybody sits here and listens.
No, what the only purpose.
And there's not.
Yeah. But again, then they don't do it at the Seder group.
Or don't go.
But the point, it doesn't matter. The point of it is that you have to feel that there is a place where you're not left alone. Now, if as Joyce Anna said, if the Seder group isn't here or isn't meeting or whatever, then this is the place. You cannot feel that you're left hanging out to dry. And we've had this discussion several times. Remember, when you and I. I mean, if you feel like you're left alone, or that nobody wants to hear what's going on, then we have robbed you.
I feel like what's going on though is something that I can fix, but I can't. You know, I mean, I know that everything that's wrong in my household is my fault, but.
Well, that's not an answer.
Yeah, I mean that does, you know.
You have to have the knowledge. People that listen, wherever they are. That's not what the mystery of God is about. The mystery of God is about if you have something going on that everything stops. And you and everyone else here has to know that. Because you being at peace is more important than anything else that we're doing. And if you feel like there's too much, people are too busy or whatever, then your feeling of that is more important than anything else anybody's doing. And these aren't just words. You know, just to change the subject a little bit, but if anyone was getting pleasure from exposing somebody's fraud, then my God, then they've missed the whole point. It all has to be on the basis of faith that worketh by love. And it can't be anything else. All we can do with the thing going on the microphone or whatever is hopefully cause some hunger somewhere where other people may, you know, everybody, here's the common thing I do. Well, tell me where there's a group like yours in my hometown. And I always say the same thing. It's not a matter of where you are. It's a matter of you being in whatever group you're in and saying whatever's there and asking whatever's there. If you pull yourself away, then every place is going to be a bad place. I really don't care about the door. I really don't care about investigation. I care about you. The funny, you want to hear the funny? When he left last time, he came back. He thought that I've been faking my pain, and that's fine. I don't care. But it was extremely important that you said that.
I thought that you were necessarily faking it, but, well, faking the extremity of it to stay away.
Well, if I did, if I was, I didn't know I was.
Sure appreciate you bringing that up.
No, but it was, no. What's important is that that was the most difficult thing you've ever said to me.
Yeah, it was.
I want you to see that, and I want everybody else to see that's the kind of honesty that we have to have. Who cares about my feelings or whether I hurt my feelings or not? If you can't say whatever you need to say to me without, if you don't feel safe in saying it, then we're a joke. Am I making any sense to anybody?
Let's see, that coming in and seeing the investigations has really brought to light how important the way that this body lives is. Because when I went Sunday and watched what was going on up in Copeland's church, the whole thing was, it doesn't bother me a bit what they're doing. It only bothers me they're doing it in the name of the Lord. And then these people are going to not have anywhere to look. But that's why we need the consistency in living.
I was with the fact checkers last night until about 9:30.
Still?
And
you think they printed this thing coming out?
Well, yesterday, it had to go to bed by midnight last night.
They must be expecting to get sued.
They had a long, long talk with J.C. Joyce. But here's the deal. He was these questions about the Copeland's hundredfold blessing, you know, that they teach. And Gloria Copeland wrote a book that said if you give $10, you'll get $1,000 back. If you give $1,000, you'll get $100,000 back. And she proved it by Mark 10, which says, no man that has left mothers or husbands or wives or children or lands, or but they shall receive a hundredfold blessing in this life, and with persecution and eternal life. And so, you know, seems like it's... But what mothers, you know, 100 mothers and 100... But they just concentrate on the financial aspect, a hundredfold blessing. Well, here's what I wrote this. Burkhart and the fact checkers said, it says that right there. How come you? They didn't realize it was saying that in relationship to the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler Jesus told him to sell all you have and give to the poor. And then it says, more difficult for a rich man. For a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven and then go through an eye of a needle. Then the disciples got all upset and said, well, what about us? We've given away everything. Jesus said to them, there's no man that has left all that will not receive a hundredfold land and mothers and children. And they're talking about us, a body like us, not about individual wealth. But because people like Tilton and Copeland and all these have never seen an us, a body, the only way they can interpret it is about personal wealth. And that's sad. Now, remember, we've received all that with persecution. We received all that with being around a whole bunch of people that we would never, ever choose to be with. We've received all that by having to be vulnerable to each other, which, my God, that's just terrible.
It's like the companion antagonist. There's that relationship that is supportive, is life-giving, et cetera, but it's also an adversarial relationship.
Right.
That's the body.
Yeah, I mean, and that's why it has to be this, and we didn't even get there, but that's where we get there, we'll talk about this some more, that the whole idea of it is each one has to commend themselves openly. There has to be openness. So, and then the rest of it is God's business. Now, everybody, there's been a lot of people that came through here over the years. Some of them have left. Some of them have left sure that I'm the Antichrist. Or at least evil. Well, first of all, they're right on both counts. But second of all, they never talked to me. It was always hidden things. They just sneak away in the night because they have some hidden resentments they don't talk about. And it wasn't about me. I mean, it was about all of us. And so it's vital because this is a strange way for a human being to live. Its purpose isn't to make us all feel better. Its purpose is that by antagonism, we will get rid of the quartz so that the pure gold that's in each of us will be seen and revealed to the Father. But there's going to be persecution. There's going to be trouble. There's going to be hell. There's going to be the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So it's but the bottom line is you have to have a place where you're free to speak whatever is there. That's what a church is. A church isn't a building. Well, because of Michael, we didn't get to study what I wanted to study. Anybody have any response? Amen. You know, this is you've heard me say it a million times. The investigations or the door or anything else we're doing is no more important than mowing the grass. And it's far less important than meeting somebody's need if they're in trouble. But you got to say it. We're not supposed to be mind readers. We're supposed to be knit together in love. Amen? Amen? All right. We'll talk about this more. But we'll talk about my agenda tomorrow.